Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
John, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Barton Hahn sitting in with J. Will. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So the Giants sign Galladay. They re-sign Leonard Williams. The Jets spend $75 million in free agency. Rich Samini, however, says they got to hit it big in the draft. They have a ton of draft capital, number two overall pick, which could have great value by the time the Jets are on the clock. But out of these two teams from Gotham, who needs to hit it big in the draft more? The Jets or the Giants? Which GM would you say, Bart, is the one that's – I mean, if you're a GM in New York, no matter what team, you're always on a hot seat. It's never cool. But which one is on the hottest seat out of the two football teams?
I think the one who has to get the draft right the most is Joe Douglas, because he decided not to spend a lot of money and throw a lot of money at high-priced names. He's done it before. Remember, he brought in Tremaine Johnson, you know, made him the highest-paid corner, or the Jets did. How did that work out? Brought in Le'Veon Bell. So winning the back pages isn't really what Joe Douglas is all about. You know, he's a former lineman. He doesn't care about what people think about him. He's never been considered a sexy pick or anything like that. Well, Dave Gettleman is at the point where he just threw money at the problem, right? We saw Jerry Reese before throw money at the problem. Okay, let's go pay the highest market for let's make Kenny Galladay the winner of the receiver sweepstakes as far as who gets the highest annual per year dollar. Let's make Leonard Williams, you know, slightly underneath Aaron Donald. Yeah, I would think it's a little discrepancy. It's a little space in between Aaron Donald and Leonard Williams. But okay, whatever. If that's what you feel like you have to do. And now I think they're trying to go get a Dory Jackson, I believe. You know, they're cornered him. I think I saw him out with Logan Ryan last night as they're trying to go get the young 25-year-old corner to try and shore up the defense even more. But Joe Douglas is saying, you know what? Listen, slow and steady wins the race. We're not going to go out and spend and overspend for the market. We're going to go and make sure that we hit this draft. We saw what he was able to do last year with that draft. I think Mims is a hit. I think Davis is a hit. I think, you know, Becton, you know, arguably can be the most dominant tackle out of that draft. So he's saying, hey, I got nine more picks. Let's see what I can do with that sliding up and down the board. I don't expect them to be able to really be super active, you know, and using all nine of those picks. I think they're going to slide up the board, get back at some players that they identified. But I also believe that, you know, Joe Douglas is secretly hoping and still keeping up hope that Deshaun Watson will become available, and he wants to make sure that he has some money to be able to absorb that salary as well.
What was the splashiest move by Joe Douglas? Has there been one yet?
See, this is the thing, right?
As you described it, everything you described would happen before him with Mike Maccagnan, some of the signings, and obviously Le'Veon Bell. But has Joe Douglas? Has Joe Douglas done anything that you said, well, that's a big headline move? Because eventually you've got to make one.
So see, Carl Lawson is sneaky, right? Because I think he has the most upside of any pass rusher that's out there, right? So when you think about what Carl Lawson has done, and Sheldon Rankins, you know, who was injured the last couple of seasons, but he's a former first-round draft pick, a high first-round draft pick. So now you pair him inside with Quinnen Williams, and now you finally got that pass rusher who's only 26 years old. See, Joe Douglas said, you know what, I don't want to pay guys that's 28, 29 years old, because in 2 years, they'll hit the 30 year mark, and that's usually when players start to come down at most positions. He got guys that are 26 years old. Nobody's on that list is above 26 years old, right? So he got young talent, guys that he sees not even hitting a peak or hitting their top potential yet. You know, he's going to grow them to that. So it's, you know, so that's a different philosophy. Anybody can go out and get the number one guy in free agency, right? But it takes a real general manager to predict where this guy is going to be a couple of years later. That's what he did when he did Carl Lawson. That's why he didn't go out and get Trey Henderson, or go get one of these guys that got these big names, Yannick Ngakoue, because he says this guy's going to be better in the next couple of years, and he's only 26 years old.
So you guys are in the weeds. Can I bring you back up to 50,000 feet on a high level? Right? It's Joe Douglas, and it's not even a question. Here's why. What the hell have we been talking about every single day on this show since the NFL season has ended?
Quarterbacks?
It's the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yep. 18 quarterbacks are going to probably be moving. It's going to be every day. What team is Russell Wilson going to? What's happening with Dak Prescott and that whole situation? Mm-hmm. What's going on with Deshaun Watson? What's happening with Sam Darnold? We had Mike Tannenbaum come on our show and say, Sam Darnold is not the answer. It's Zach Wilson. We're saying, really? Wow. Keyshawn's been on our show talking about Sam Darnold is the answer. Mm-hmm. How you move about that one decision, if you decide that Zach Wilson is your guy and you let go of Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold goes somewhere else and starts destroying the league, whoa, what's going on, Joe Douglas?
Yeah.
If you keep Sam Darnold and you pass on Zach Wilson and he goes somewhere else and he plays, he balls out, but then Sam Darnold is still having issues with this team that you're trying to retool around him,
yeah.
Whoa, issues, Joe Douglas. I already feel like Daniel Jones, all the pieces.
That's
like
next year.
Dave Gettleman, that's where it is. Address the O-line in the NFL draft. That is what it is. But for Joe Douglas, this quarterback move that you have to make right now, that decision is forever tied to the rest of your narrative, being the GM for the New York Jets.
It is absolutely true.
You make a great point. Great point. Now, that's why I say kick the can down the road, because it gives you more options. Sam Darnold and the option to be able to trade for Russell Wilson with 3 first-round draft picks or trade for Deshaun Watson. Because if you make that decision, Zach Wilson, you're tied to Zach Wilson.
But what
happens? You can't trade anymore because you got to give him an opportunity to see if he's good.
But what happens, Bart, if Sam Darnold doesn't play well and all of a sudden Russell Wilson, he ends up staying in Seattle? You know, what happens if Deshaun Watson, that doesn't play out, he goes somewhere else? I mean, what happens if your options dry up?
You got 3 picks for the next number one guy next year. And if Sam Darnold doesn't play well, that pick's going to be even higher. So you're going to have 3 first-round draft picks, and then you go get the number one guy that's coming out in the draft. And if it takes you 2 draft picks, the kid from USC that they said is the only guy that's going to have the first-round grade, then you go up and you go get him.
But what if Zach Wilson is the guy? What if Zach Wilson is the guy? What happens if he turns out to be the guy?
But odds are he's not. Right, you know, so you play the odds. It's best.
Prescott wasn't. I mean,
here's what it is. You better trust your scouting. Like that's what it always is about. You better trust your scouting. Mike Tannenbaum, you mentioned him. If anybody knows about a hot seat in New York, it certainly is him. He once was that.
His GM with the Jets.
That's right. They made that aggressive move to get up and get Mark Sanchez, and he did help the team along with a great defense. Back-to-back AFC championship appearances. But we talked to him earlier in the show about the whole idea of the hot seat and the 2 GMs in New York, and here was his response.
This is a huge year for Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman, obviously. But I think for Joe Douglas, you know, Joe came in. He did a great job of setting the table. You know, he obviously inherited Adam Gase. He was able to hire his own coach now. This is a huge year for Joe Douglas, in my opinion, because, again, if we're sitting here in 4 or 5 months, guys, who is that quarterback? Like, to me, it's an easy decision. It's Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson. I don't think they can win a championship with Sam Darnold. And I think that decision is going to go a long way to see how successful the Jets will be over the next couple of years.
It's amazing. Like we're going to view Joe Douglas's success or failure as a GM with the Jets, not based on smart signings, Corey Davis, you know, Carl Lawson. Like these are smart
quarterbacks,
moves, right? It's going to come down to a position that this franchise has been chasing since Broadway Joe hung up the knee brace.
And I asked
that
him
is
again.
Quarterback.
I asked him again because I cut him off right when that sound ended. And I said, wait, did you just say that Sam Darnold, you can't win a championship with Sam? He's like, no, I cannot win a championship.
And why did he say it? What did he say? What was his reasoning?
He said he doesn't see that he's special, right? He saw him struggle at USC, turning the ball over and all that stuff. But
I
went with the Tannehill stuff, right? Well, he talked about, Tannehill took the team to the playoffs. Well, he took the team to the playoffs because they had a good team. Right, they had a great supporting cast. Sam Darnold hasn't had a supporting cast. For all we thought about signing Le'Veon, Le'Veon went to Kansas City. We're like, oh man, watch we see Le'Veon be unlocked when he go to Kansas. Did he even play?
Barely.
Like that. So that's what I'm saying. So that just showed you, really, he really wasn't working with the great players that we anticipated that he was working with. We knew he couldn't.
But Bart, there is an element though, and what I agree with Mike Tannenbaum on is this: you know, when you have that leader, regardless of whether you're on a bad team or not.
Yeah,
like, there are certain aspects where you make other people around you that much better.
True.
And I think Sam Darnold did that to a certain degree this year.
Look what he did his rookie year, right? Because this year he never had his receivers in the game at the same time. And then when he got his receivers in the game at the same time, he didn't have anybody that could protect him. So I think now you talk about him having an opportunity. This is the prove it year, but you know you get an opportunity to allow him to prove it, right? We would argue that these are the best weapons that Sam Darnold has ever had. Let's see what he can do with it. I'm kicking the can down the road, because the last thing I'm gonna do is say, okay, this guy's the next guy. Because remember, Sam Darnold was that guy that they moved up for, just like you know Mike Tannenbaum moved up to 5th, all the way from 20th or something, to get up and get Mark Sanchez, and eventually that got him fired because Sanchez was okay, but he wasn't a franchise quarterback, and they didn't give him enough weapons to surround himself around him. But that was a team that was ready to win and compete right now, this is a young team with a young quarterback. You talk about all the pieces that he brought in, it was 26 and younger. Well, Sam Darnold's 23, so they can grow together. Guy like him and Corey Davis can grow together. Maybe Herndon can grow together. Mm. You know, maybe, you know, him and Denzel Mims can grow together, right? So let's see. You know, so bringing in a guy like Wilson, how old is Wilson, right? He's right there, yeah. Right? So we're making all these excuses about what he's done. We saw him do less and less of a resume playing against less talent, where Sam Darnold's at least played in the NFL.
And the key thing is, of course, the change in coach, which could also have a major impact. We shall see. All right, today on ESPN Daily, the NCAA tournament has all the excitement we love, all while the entire college sports system moves toward huge changes. Athletes seek the right to profit from their image. That's on ESPN Daily. Listen on your favorite podcast app. Let's do A to Z. KJZ, Barton Hahn, kicking it with Jay Will.
Hey!
So let's begin with some women's college basketball. How about UConn freshman Paige Beckers? Paige Buckets, 24 points in her NCAA tournament debut, a rout. UConn beat High Point, 102-59. Her 24 points, the most by a UConn player in their first NCAA tournament game. Gino Auriemma missed the game due to COVID-19. He's eligible to return after the round of 32. Here's Paige Beckers on wanting to win for coach.
We knew we had to step it up. I mean, coach is obviously out with COVID, but we just want to continue to win for him so he can get out here with us. And we just wanted to focus really hard on the details and just minimize mistakes here in March.
I'm just also glad that the NCAA has picked up the level of the weight room facilities and the swag bags. I'm glad that
hydration station.
Us addressing that on this show.
What was the sporting goods company that immediately said we'll bring stuff right away?
Dick's Sporting Goods.
Was it Dick's Sporting Goods?
Yeah. We'll be all in it.
We got truckloads. Let's bring it in.
So once again, the power of social media, players voicing their concern, other people talking about it. I'm glad we use our platform for great things like that.
Yeah, it's a joke, man. I mean, the decision makers, we need to figure out why it was such a discrepancy to begin with. You know what I mean? Big shout out to Dick's for stepping up. But we got to figure out who decided that was enough for the ladies.
It's just amazing. You're just putting it all together. And we're in the middle of, you know, of a month where we're celebrating women and we're going to have this kind of discrepancy and disparity. Here's some dumbbells. Like, that's all you need. I mean, come on. Like, maddening.
I thought I saw the same ones, the same dumbbells or barbells that Craig was working out with in Friday in the front yard. You know, that the center block four was.
Oh, man. All right. How about Blake Griffin making his debut with the Brooklyn Nets? Wearing number two, by the way. And by the way, that's how many points he had in his debut. But that's all right because those points came on a dunk.
Man, why are you falling for the pump fake for Blake Griffin?
Because that's all he does is shoot.
But it was a time that you wanted him to shoot the three.
He only had 2 points in 15 minutes. He only played 15 minutes. But the 2 points, like I said, came on his first dunk in a game since December 2019. Somehow, for the former dunk champion, that was a big story. And he knew about it. And post-game, he said, yeah, I was aware, and I didn't want to look at the bench. Take a listen.
I felt great. I knew. You know, once it happened, it was going to be a thing. And so I tried not to look at the bench when I was coming back down. But then I kind of peeked over and I saw DeAndre all the way out on the side, and I saw everybody standing up. So, you know, it's hard not to smile in that situation. But you know, felt good to just get that out of the way.
Hey, Jay, Blake, go ahead.
No, Jay Weez, I wanted to ask you a question. I wonder how they're going to use Blake Griffin, because it's odd that's Lopez, a big on him. Are they going to use him as a big with the lineup and see if he can play a little center, a little five?
Yeah, they use him as a pick and pop, and plus also he'll come off the bench, you know, initially because Jeff Green, their ability to stretch the floor. But it's interesting, right? We've been on our show. We talked about LeBron James having his injury. We talked about AD. We've been talking about AD since February 14th when he first got hurt, right? But the question is, what's going on with Kevin Durant? I need to put my investigative cap on and start digging into this, Allen. Like, he has not played in a while.
And he's not supposed to be back in some time, too. They're not expecting him back anytime soon. They want to, I mean, you know, proceed with caution. When do you really need him?
May.
Take your time. You don't need him until May.
Is the first time your team's supposed to be together playing at full force in May?
We watched the Clippers do that, right? And what happens is they didn't have that chemistry when they got in the bubble.
All right, that's A to Z.
Oof.
Who was that that fell on him? I can see. This number 18 from Atlanta. Can you find it?
KJZ, Barton Hahn in with Jay Will, joined now by Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA and Lakers reporter. Dave, first of all, thanks for joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Second of all, I've seen LeBron play his entire career. I've actually seen him fall at times. One time I saw him where his knee twisted underneath his leg. It was such an awkward fall. I'm like, he's done. Like, that's an ACL. He's done for the season. He walked it off. Like, he's Wolverine. So to see him go down the way he did last night, to see that the way that ankle turned underneath, when you watched him limp off the court, were you as surprised as I was?
Well, I guess I was surprised when he limped off the second time, right? Because he went back in the game.
It's true.
He had 7 points at the time, relaced his sneakers, goes back in the game for 46 seconds, hits the three to get up to 10 points for the game, keeps his streak intact of 1,036 straight games of 10 points or more, which is the longest in NBA history. And now we go into the void, and the team is terming it as an indefinite amount of time that he's going to miss. But the feeling around the team when you text with sources is that it's going to be a several-week period here, and it's a tenuous time for the Lakers because in those several weeks with this compacted schedule because of COVID-19, you're talking about him missing, anywhere, say, 10 to 15 games, maybe at a minimum. And that could really impact where the Lakers are in the standings because, as it is right now, they're 0-3 on the season without LeBron if you include that Atlanta game on Saturday.
Dave, I may mention before you came on, February 14th is when AD had his injury. That's been a month plus. What have you been hearing about his status and when he can return as well?
He's going to be reevaluated this upcoming Friday by Laker team doctors. And at that point, even if they clear him, it's not like he would return like the next game that they have Sunday against Orlando Magic. He would need some time to ramp up, to get some practice time, to get, go up against live NBA bodies, even if it's just in 2-on-2, 3-on-3 scenarios on game days. So, Friday is about a week from now. You could add another week of ramp up at that point. I think that's kind of the range you're looking at for AD, barring any setbacks. You're at least 2 weeks away from having him as well. So, I mean, this is a time where they're going to have to rely on guys like Montrezl Harrell, who's been great for them. Don't get me wrong, he's been great. And Kyle Kuzma and Dennis Schroeder, all those guys are playing up to their level you'd expect or even above it, but they're not LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
How active are they going to be before the trade line to try and get somebody that can help maybe carry that load, while they're going to be without LeBron and AD, trying to make sure that they can stay afloat?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because Frank Vogel kind of admitted that, of course, this would change our plans around the trade deadline because it's such a major loss to make up for. At the same time, I don't see Rob Pelinka being the type of guy to make win-now type of moves. He's always looking big picture. And with this squad, they were prepping all season long to make some moves around the margin to try to compete for another championship. I don't see them making wholesale changes. One, I think it'd be difficult for them to make wholesale changes without parting with two of their young players in Alex Caruso and Talen Horton-Tucker, who they covet, who they want to have to be part of the program moving forward, and who are both free agents this summer. And two, when this team has been healthy, and they've had their fair share of bad luck this year, but when they've been healthy, they've been one of the best teams in the league. And you kind of, at this point, kind of got to grip tight, hope you can upgrade without tearing things down, and hope you have luck on your side where you can have a 15-20 game ramp up before the playoffs and then go try to defend your title.
Dave, what have you been hearing around the franchise as it relates to Andre Drummond? Because I feel like once he becomes on the market as a potential guy to get, seeing how their bigs and the way that Frank Vogel likes to play defense, utilizing those bigs and utilizing that size to dominate you on the boards, could it be an additive piece that could help this team get to where they need to be?
Yeah, Jay, I mean, Drummond is a piece that they'd really like to add. Obviously, add in a buyout type of scenario. You know, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been adamant that they want to find a trade partner for Andre Drummond. Thus far, you know, that hasn't worked out in terms of them getting a deal that they would have liked. You know, it would be either taking back too much salary long-term in the deals that have been offered, or the pieces that they were looking for just didn't make sense with the core that they already have. That said, even if Andre Drummond is bought out, he's going to have suitors around the league. And I don't know if the Lakers have a sense that Drummond would pick them over, say, Brooklyn, where, you know, he was teammates with Blake Griffin in Detroit. And they have, would have a need for him going up against a guy like, you know, a Joel Embiid in the playoffs. Or he could go to L.A. but play for the Clippers, perhaps. I mean, he'd have other suitors around the league. He'd go to Boston and play a major role. So if he does hit the market, the Lakers would need him to pick him. But certainly if he did pick the Lakers, I mean, there's a huge role waiting for him with the Lakers, because Marcus Gasol just hasn't worked out this year. And, you know, beyond that, they don't have those backup centers like they had with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. Their center stock is pretty low right now.
Dave, thanks for the insight. Obviously, everything now in Lakerland going from they can repeat to where are they going to be now, playoff time, with their two stars injured. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep, thanks, fellas. Yep.
All right, I'm telling you, like this is a huge crazy story in the NBA. It could change everything. Remember what Woj told us earlier. Woj told us about three weeks to a month with LeBron. But he also said what an interesting scenario would be if those two guys comes back and the Lakers might have dropped to like a 7 seed. You're a 2 seed and you got to play them in the first round.
I mean, there are 3 teams within 2.5 games of them right now. So you miss, you know, 10 to 15 games. That's a lot, especially in the daunting Western Conference.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you get them, you want to get them then, though. I'd rather get them first round? If I can knock them out while they're still rusty.
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
Get that doors open Utah for somebody. In the first round?
Yeah.
Or you have to be in the playoff scenario? You have to go through the play-in tournament?
Oh, in the 7th.
You imagine that?
The NBA would love that.
Wow, yes, they would. Yeah.
But we are in March Madness in 2018, Cinderella. They're writing another chapter in their fairy tale. We'll get to that after Jay has this from Straight Talk.
It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, do yourself a favor. Just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. That's right. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Sister Jean has done it again. Loyola into the Sweet 16, stunning the number one seed Illinois. A crazy weekend in sports, and this will be the place to talk about it on Monday with me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, Barton Hahn, in with J. Will. Brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app and use code KJZ to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com. See DraftKings.com for details. Let's go to the Goodyear hotline. I've been looking forward to this, man, since we knew
Big Cam.
We were bringing him in. Cameron Crutwig.
We call big dudes like that, move like that, big
world. Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening, man? Hey, listen, I've got to tell you something. When the tournament started, we were asking about names of players that the nation might find out about or learn about or maybe didn't know as much about before all is said and done. You're that guy for me. Now, it's not like we don't know who you are. We didn't know the success that your program had a bunch of years ago getting to the Final Four. You were part of that. But still, like, to watch you play, especially the 19 points against Illinois, the quick hands on the pick and roll, sliding over, helping out, all those things you were doing, playing a little Jokic ball in the high post. Are you used to surprising people? Do you enjoy being underestimated? Is this something that when you read the headlines now, you kind of laugh at?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of the beauty of the tournament. You know, it seems like every year, you know, obviously last year there was no tournament, but every year since, you know, every year that I've watched the tournament, there's always been, you know, a couple guys that just, capture the hearts of everybody. I mean, Steph Curry was huge in the tournament. That's kind of how he got started. Obviously, he was a good player before that, and that's not to say that I'm on Steph's level. But I mean, you know, like, guys just get made in the tournament, and you can, you know, if you have a couple good games, good stretches, and you know, you can make a name for yourself. And you know, I don't know if I really kind of look at the stuff and think, you know, oh man, I'm underrated or anything like that. It just, you know, I think we're more focused on just going out and winning games. And, you know, when you win games, people take notice. And we played a heck of a game yesterday, stuck to the game plan, and we came out, we competed and kind of controlled the whole game from the start.
Cam, I got to tell you, the mustache is incredible. You are bringing mustaches back. No more full beard, yeah. Goatee, just the stash. Yeah. It's a signature trait. But tell me, what did Coach Moser say to you guys after you got this win? Because we had him on our show, and we were talking about, hey, like, expectations for this team. And you guys expect to win these type of games. It's, you guys are no longer, you know, like a sleeper in the tournament. What did he say after the game?
Right. Hey, he was just proud of us. You know, those coaches and the staff and everyone worked so hard, and the players worked so hard, and this is, I mean, I guess you could say it's a signature win, but like you said, I mean, we expect to win these games. We you never underestimate your opponent. Obviously, we have a tremendous amount of respect for everyone we play, especially, you know, the Illini, you know, being the one seed, Big Ten conference champions, you know, but all week leading up, the 48 hours leading up to that scout, we felt that, you know, we matched up well and that we'd be able to run our stuff against them and be able to kind of hurt them a little bit on offense. And you know, we just came out and executed a great game plan. We knew they weren't switching screens, so, I mean, it probably got a little boring to watch. We ran the same play over and over again. They weren't switching screens, so we kept running that play. And you know, that's just the scheme that they were in, and that's what we were doing. So we just executed time and time again, and it was just a great win for the program. And like you said, those wins are starting to become expected now. You know, obviously my freshman year, we kind of snuck up on some people. You know, people kind of didn't really pay attention to us. It was kind of a Cinderella story. But, you know, now this year, and the success that we've had in the program, You know, we want to be in those big time games. We want to be in the spotlight, and we want to win those big time games. So it was just a great day for Rambler basketball.
Well, way to represent the MVC, right? I'm a former Saluki as well, so I was there.
All right.
2000s when they went to the Elite Eight a couple of times in a short period of
time. Yeah.
But I want to say, what did you say to your teammates, specifically you, because you have experience in letting them know what they anticipate and letting them know that they can believe and expect to win, knowing that the game plan was solid and that you've been a part of this before, that you guys are just getting started?
Yeah, I mean, you know, me and Lucas were and Ahir was a redshirt on that on my freshman year, so we've been through it. He traveled with us and everything, so we've been through it before. You just got to believe this time of year, and that's one of the things that Coach was echoing home when we beat GT, and, you know, obviously when you were going to play Illinois, we kind of got in the meeting room, and it was like, hey, the first step is you got to believe. It's crazy what can happen when a group of guys believe in something. And, you know, we came with a refocus, you know, not satisfied with that one tournament win. And that's really the mentality we had my freshman year as well. You know, never looking ahead to, you know, Final Four this or Elite Eight that, Sweet 16. It was always just the next game in front of us. And we felt we could win the next game in front of us my freshman year. And, you know, we felt we could win the next game in front of us this year. And it's that game-by-game process that really really helps you during March, because it's so easy to fall into the hype and into social media and you know, and all that stuff is really cool. You know, obviously, as college kids, you don't get to experience it as much. You know, March is the greatest month for a college basketball player if you're doing well. But you got to be able to lock in when you need to lock in, and we've really been able to do that.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, Barton Hahn in with Jay Will. And we're talking with Cameron Krutwig from Loyola Chicago. He is definitely that player you will remember. If you watch the game, yeah, he's that guy that was making the difference, not just on offense, but on defense certainly as well. Bart, you had a follow-up for him, didn't you?
Yeah, well, the follow-up geez, I forgot what the follow-up.
You forgot.
Nah, yeah, because I thought you were taking a
don't
table.
Worry,
it's all good.
I was just about to reset.
I'm talking to a celebrity, man. Well, I remember what it was. It was talking about, you know, being within that, you know, you play U of I, you know what I mean, and they're in the same state. Did you sense a sense of arrogance? Because I can remember being a smaller school. They look at us like little brother. You know, they're down in Champaign, big school, big program. Did you sense it, that they maybe underestimated you guys, and then by the time y'all got on them, it was too late?
You know, maybe there was a little bit of that at the start of the game, during warmups a little bit. You know, I felt that we kind of felt maybe that they were trying to big time us a little bit. You know, it is what it is. That just kind of fueled our fire a little bit. And, you know, the thing is I think I saw this on Twitter or something, but, someone tweeted out and was saying, you know, when the smaller mid-major school plays the in-state, you know, power or big in-state, you know, state school, there's always a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because, you know, that school never recruited them. You know, we've got a lot of guys from Illinois on our team. I never got an offer from Illinois. Lucas never, you know, all the guys from Illinois never even really got looked at by Illinois. So, you know, you definitely carry a little bit of a chip on your shoulder with that for sure. Just knowing that, you know, hey, they never recruited me, and now I'm here. I get to play them. You know, you always carry that little bit of an edge about yourself, especially in an in-state game like you mentioned.
Cameron, I have a serious question for you, and the way you answer this question will determine your altitude. Do you guys believe, Cameron Krutwig, do you believe that you guys can win the whole damn thing?
I do. I mean, you have to believe that you can win the whole thing.
You don't
thing.
Have to believe it, Cameron. You know, a lot of people say it. They don't believe it. But, like, you guys have been
there. You got to believe it. And I think that's one thing that Coach is really, really harped home with us is, you got to believe, because we were so close my freshman year. I mean, we were up, you know, 7 or 8 on Michigan in the second half, and it comes down to, you know, Wagner got hot and Duncan Robinson started making a couple threes, and we were right there. And now, you know, this year, just, you know, the wins we've had this year, the type of season we're having, the way we play together, we're really starting to build that chemistry, build that trust, and it's so important this time of year. And we got the seniors. We got senior leadership, man. We've been through so much. You know, we got 7 seniors, especially with COVID and everything. You know, you're starting to see teams with younger guys kind of drop out. And we got, you know, 7 seniors, tough-minded guys. And you got to believe you can win the whole thing. And after we beat, you know, Illinois, you know, we got in the fight. We're in the Sweet 16 now, and we're only a couple wins away from Final Four, national championship. I mean, you got to believe in it. And, you know, there's definitely something brewing in this team for sure.
Cam, we appreciate you joining us here today. And I'll tell you what, if you get to the Final Four, we got to talk to you again, my man.
Can I have a rice?
Yeah, nothing, for sure.
Nothing boring also about winning.
Can I have a rice to your T-shirt, please? Can I have a rice to make your T-shirt? I'll make
that's
a rice
another conversation for another day. Cam Crutwick. Hey, thanks
You're
so
right,
much.
You're right.
There
is nothing boring about winning.
That's right.
It's congrats, not easy, Cam. Though. It's not easy.
Hey, brother. Congrats, man.
That is Sister Jean I said what up.
Oh, I will. I will. She's having a good time down in Indy, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Finally gets to see some hoops.
Good luck to you. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. What a great kid, man. What a great kid.
You think about this. They have to go through a 12 seed in Oregon State. We saw Houston, a 2 seed, barely get by Rutgers.
That's right.
Rutgers should have won that game.
Yeah.
Now you got Houston going against the zone of Syracuse. That could be a Syracuse, Loyola, Chicago Elite Eight game. And once you get there, getting there.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Like, once you get there, 25% chance. We all got a chance to win it.
Yep.
And I thought he hit on something, right? You see, they're a veteran group, right? They understand what it's all about. They're to a certain extent in college terms. They're grown-ass men, right? And now, you know, they're locked in. We see some of these young guys just waning in focus just a little bit.
Yeah, that certainly does happen there, but they're a team to keep an eye on, no doubt about it. All right, we look ahead to another day, another round in 32 games, and who is upset alert today? We'll talk about that after Jay has this from Cintas.
Today, people expect a new level of clean. That's right. Cintas provides a wide range of essential products and services that help businesses keep their facilities and employees clean and safe. Cintas will keep you well-stocked with essential supplies like face mask, hand sanitizer, glove, and thermometers. Cintas will hygienically clean and deliver your uniforms. How nice is that? They also will help you protect employees and customers with first aid and safety supplies and fire protection services. Cintas helps you open your doors with confidence every day. Learn how Cintas can help keep your businesses clean and safe at Cintas.com. Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Sister Jean has done it again. Loyola into the Sweet 16, stunning the number one seed Illinois. A crazy weekend in sports, and this will be the place to talk about it on Monday with me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Barton Hunt in with J. Will. Again and again and again, it seems. How you feeling about us, man?
I rock with y'all.
Like, you good?
I rock with you guys.
Down
my teams, what are you talking about?
I'm just checking.
Why do you need to check?
Because I don't want to be a lingerer. You know, like some people that stick around too long.
Man, we in the club together. We at the table together.
I just want to make sure.
Won't go home.
It's good to get that. Like, just want to get
you
that.
You will be able to tell. Like, for me, I can't hide my mood. So, if I don't rock with you, you'll be able to tell. You're like, what's wrong with you? You all right, Jay?
You
I'm like,
cold shoulder?
I'm cool, man.
Like, we're all set.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm champ. Yeah. Was it a fourth Three Stooges? It was a champ.
A what?
Champ. Mary Curly, Moe, and Champ. What's a cousin, man? Like, we the cousins that's coming over to your house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I used to watch that when I was 2 years old. It was hard for me to get the Three Stooges reference.
Well, I'm like the Truman
Show,
man.
Can we use a more updated reference, please?
I'm like the Truman Show, man. I was raised by the TV, man. I had no friends or family, anybody that cared about me.
Jeez. real-life problems with Bart. That'll be our next.
This is a therapy session. Exactly
yes, it is.
I was just checking to make sure that everybody was cool. That's all. I didn't know it was going to turn into that.
Tell me how you really feel.
Jay, now today's games. What do you now? Are you just closed up everything?
Yeah, like I closed up everything. Now you're going to ask me to reference today's games. Well, I mean, I like it though. We like this.
I can give you one or two, but you know, there was something I was supposed to talk to you about, but it did not come up on the screen fast enough.
It's all right. We were supposed to talk about the fact that the NFL is going to open up and allow fans to be at the NFL draft.
Right.
Which is really.
I'm looking for details on that right now.
I mean, we have the topic, so we're good to talk about
okay.
it. Okay. I've never been to an NFL draft. Bart, you've been a part of it.
Yeah,
I've been to NBA drafts. I've called NBA drafts. The last NFL draft I saw was in Nashville, and the scene
crazy.
Was insane.
Last
it
thing
was
you can
insane.
Say, mm-hmm.
And look, as people are getting more vaccinated than ever now, and we're actually unleashing this, like I actually look forward to having that energy back in one centralized location to see who the next greats are going to be and us learning about who all these great quarterbacks, wide receivers. I mean, Devontae Smith, learning about all these guys, Ja'Marr Chase. There's so many great names.
It's their first introduction to the league, too,
exactly.
isn't it? Like, it's the first time they feel the crowd and the energy and the passion that's behind it. Now, I do have now the information.
He's speaking
finally.
With so much more confidence now. You see it, Bart?
Feel it.
Pass the ball back. I got
so
the
you've
point
got, it's in Believe Land? Is it in Believe
it's
Land?
It's in Cleveland, yeah, Ooh. April 29th, May 1st. So you have – it's a three-day event, just like it usually is. Free events for fans in accordance with public officials. This was announced by the NFL just a few minutes ago, as Jay said. You'll have media crews on site, so we'll actually get to be there.
Does that mean we're going to go?
Are you going
to
do?
I don't know.
Do the show on site for
management.
The draft? We shall see. But it'll be downtown in Cleveland. They'll be using the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame certainly as well. But you know, the main stage will have the backdrop of Lake Erie.
Ooh.
Wonder who will make the mistake by the lake.
Oh yeah.
See what I did there?
I'm not even allowed.
There'll be one
please.
Team that makes it that picks somebody,
yeah,
and they're going to call it the mistake by the lake. You
probably
know that's coming.
Evan said probably the Jets.
Yeah, Evan said
he's
probably
just,
the Jets.
Oh, hold on, you better put some respect on that, son. Listen, Joe Douglas ain't about that life no more, son.
Let me just mention this also, as we talked about this earlier. EJ Liddell, right from Ohio State, who got those threats on social media. He was on CNN this morning, CNN New Day, and I just want to read you a couple of the comments that he made. He said it kind of messed me up a little bit. I just want to thank everyone for their support. Everybody can take constructive criticism, but sometimes people go a little bit too far, you think? He also said, I've never done anything in my life to make anyone talk to me like that, especially after we just played in a basketball game that we worked all year for. So he's reacting to this. He went public with it. Now we'll see what kind of response there is to those who sent him those tweets.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You know, kind of
champion
opening up that and sharing that with the world, because I think that will help a lot of people empathize more. A lot of people are very busy in their lives. They don't take time to empathize, and I think that's helpful.
Yeah.
And maybe what you're saying is make them be more mindful. Like, you know what? I understand what they go through now. We've talked about this. We've had a conversation about this. I won't press send, even though I'm upset right now.
Yeah. What the origin of the tweets, the origin of the anger, who knows? Who cares? As Herm Edwards once said, don't press send. That's the bottom line with stuff like this. And hopefully he's got enough support around
like
him.
Kevin
after also
Hart
losing.
You want to go night-night?
After losing such a big game.
Like you going to put somebody to sleep?
We're about to go night-night right now. Greeny is next. He has Jim Boeheim. Jay,
I'll
see you tomorrow.
I'll pull up to your IP address, partner.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.